abhor what is evil, or in other words, hate what is evil and hold fast to what is good. And I think that's just a good definition of love, is like to hate that which is evil and to cling to that which is good.
Hey, Veritas, this is Michael Rhodes and Jordan Howell, and you are listening to the Beyond the Message podcast.
Here we go.
Welcome back, Jordan.
Good to be here.
Yeah, it's great to, I mean, so just behind the curtain here, we're recording this literally right after the service. We usually record this on Monday morning, but you're up in Urbana now, so you didn't want to make another trip back down?
Yeah, I mean, saves me 40 minutes of drive time, so
there you
this
go.
Is great.
It was, I mean, really good to have you back, Jordan. Always good to see you, and thanks for the update about your health and life. Anything else you'd want to add to that?
I feel like I got lost in, maybe it was the second service, but just the, overwhelming number one support of the church, how many people I know are committed to praying like for me and with me. And also just the reality of scans coming up this week that is like, oh, this is kind of like the first inside look since April in regards to what's going on. So, appreciate prayer. Prayer is the best thing people can do for us, and believe that the Lord's listening. So,
well, I have no idea what's going on internally, but like externally, it just seems like you have so much more like energy.
I feel great, which is wild. And I know most people, you know, just connected with a couple after church, and they're in a maybe similar boat in terms of diagnosis, but very different boat in terms of treatment. And, you know, what was sweet to me was hearing them be able to say similar to me, like, man, my joy is found in Jesus, and I'm satisfied not in my circumstances, but in Christ. And it's like, oh, maybe easier for a guy like me to say, where it's like, oh, good news on treatment plan, you can avoid chemo and radiation, but their path involves chemo, and they're still able to say, my joy is found in Jesus.
That's
so
awesome.
That was really encouraging.
Yeah. Okay, so you preach from Romans chapter 12, verse 10. It's just a short verse. Why don't you just read it to us?
You bet. Romans 12:10 says, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor.
All right, so your main points from this week were, in the church, our relationship should be marked by commitment, not convenience or comfort. In the church, we are called to compete for one another, not with one another. And then ultimately, your big idea, kind of put those together, commit to familial love and compete in honoring one another.
Yeah.
So I know you're fresh off the 11 o'clock service here. Is there anything that you wish you would have had more time to talk about or given more clarity on?
I think in general, the word love, and I think we've probably done this every time we come across the word love in the New Testament in general or from the stage, where it's just like, that's just such a watered down term. Mm. Like, what does it mean to genuinely love somebody? And yeah, again, I'm a rule follower, so I preached one verse, but if I were to preach two, I'd back up one verse, Romans 12:9, let love be genuine. And the ESV says, abhor what is evil, or in other words, hate what is evil and hold fast to what is good. And I think that's just a good definition of love, is like to hate that which is evil and to cling to that which is good. Mm. And oftentimes that's just maybe a distorted reality in the world, where we think of, oh, it's not loving to tell somebody they're doing something wrong, you know, because culture says affirming is loving.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, if my brother or sister is doing something that's harmful to them or against the will of God, like the loving thing for me to do is to simultaneously love them and hate the sin that they're living
in.
So,
I mean, I've often thought about it like, so we have young kids, right?
Yeah.
I have a three-year-old. You don't have a three-year-old. Right?
Not yet.
All around
5,
that.
4, 2, almost 1.
Yeah. So if my three-year-old runs out into traffic, like I'm not just going to affirm her and be like, oh, yeah, great, go
right.
do it. Like, I'm going to run. I'm going to scream to the top of my lungs. I don't care what people think of me. I don't care if I even have to, like push my daughter to get out of the way
right.
of traffic. Like, I'm going to do – now, I'm not saying that's an apples-to-apples comparison to, like, saying loving hard things to people. But it just – like, yeah, it's just – love isn't just affirming.
Yeah.
Like, we wouldn't put that in any category, like, otherwise in our world, but for some reason we think that like that's the best way to care for somebody is just tell them what they want to hear.
For sure.
So anything else you would add?
I feel like maybe a touchy topic in general that I tried to avoid from the stage for the sake of time, but is just worth talking about is maybe the phrase like church hurt. Mm. And I think there is a reality that a lot of people have experienced church hurt, but it's also become maybe a buzzword in the Christian subculture of like, oh, this is church hurt. Therefore, you know, we left. We're going to this church because of church hurt. And it's like, help me understand what you mean by church hurt,
sure.
You know, in the same way, kind of talked about church shopping, like it's not wrong to church shop if what you're talking is biblical convictions,
correct.
Right? Are they teaching sound doctrine? Are they making the gospel primary? Great. But when church shopping becomes preferences, that's where it's like, wait a second, this seems a little consumeristic.
Sure.
Same way church hurt, it's like there are clear abuses of power or, you know, unfortunate but unqualified leaders in positions of leadership that are not to be followed, and that's understandable when people start talking church hurt.
Sure.
But when you get into, oh, these people, you know, were calling me out because I was living with my girlfriend, it's like that kind of sounds like Romans 12:9, you
sure.
know. So, and of course, because we're broken people, we can sometimes say the right thing the wrong way, and we all have room to grow in how we communicate.
Sure.
But so much of church hurt, I think, is a result of people listening to maybe more of what people said and less of what they meant. And it would be a helpful filter for us to be like, what do I think they meant when they said it? And can I assume the best about them? And if I don't understand, can I seek clarity going right to them rather than, you know, running them through the trash or
sure.
just running away. So
in church, I think of like, I should know this whole verse, but just like talks about the wounds of a friend, you know, are a good thing, right?
Yeah.
And so the wounds of a brother from a brother and sister in Christ are not, even though they are hurtful, they can often be a wonderful thing in our walk with Jesus.
Absolutely.
But I think so often in our culture, we just decide like, oh, I was hurt. I got to put a boundary up to cut out those people in my life that are going to hurt me.
Yeah.
When some of those wounds could be really beneficial. Now,
yeah.
Again, it's a sensitive topic and there's lots of nuances. So I do want to be careful there, but I think we've become much too quick to say, I just need boundaries in my life. I'm going to cut people out.
For sure.
All right. So how could this – you talked about a culture of honor, right?
Mm.
And a – like we want to outdo one another in honoring one another, right?
Yeah.
And so do you – could you envision any like way that that kind of culture could go wrong in a church?
Sure. Yeah. I think – you know, that's one of the unique realities of preaching one verse. And I know Jake has talked to us before. It's like, oh, every verse is within a paragraph and every paragraph's within a chapter and every chapter's within a book. And like, if you just, you know, flew a plane in and dropped on Romans 12:10 and it was like outdo one another in showing honor, that it genuinely becomes competitive in an arrogant way.
Sure.
That it's like, oh, no one's going to beat me. And it again comes back to this is all about me.
Sure.
But that's where, again, if you look above it and you look below it, Romans 12:3, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. And then Romans 12:16, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. It's like,
sure.
Okay, it's hard to come to Romans 12:10 and not understand humility is at its core.
Yeah.
But if you just look at that verse alone, it's like, oh, how can this become all about me?
Sure. If we just take – we're going to outdo one another in honor and take Jesus out of the picture. I'm like, oh, we're going to do this. Like, but it is void of like how we've seen the grace of God show up in somebody's life. Then it just feels very self-serving.
For
right?
sure.
Glorifying the self. And I think it's a – it can fuel pride in people's lives, whether they – it can fuel pride on both sides, of an arrogant side and an insecure pride, in the sense of, well, if somebody doesn't brag on me and what God's done in my life, then I feel really insecure. And I'm like, oh no, nobody said anything. Am I not doing enough?
Mm.
Versus the arrogant side of, oh yeah, they said something great about me and I feel really good about myself because of it. And you've just missed Jesus. Like, oh, the only reason you're loving or kind or patient or gentle is because of the grace of God in your life.
Yeah.
So I could just see you get into a culture if you miss Jesus, which obviously that's not what we're trying to go after at all, but if you miss Jesus, you just get in a dangerous spot where it becomes very self-serving. Or a leader tells you to do this because they just want you to prop them up.
You know? That could be bad.
And I think that's a dangerous – I think I've seen churches from a distance. Obviously, I don't know the ins and outs of every church, but – from a distance, I've seen leaders preach about this culture of honor because I think they're really just fishing for their congregation to tell them how good they are.
Yeah.
You know, and that's...
Which is like, what Paul doesn't say is honor me. He's like, honor one another, you know?
Totally.
And even in Philippians 2, he gives the example of Christ and then he doesn't say, oh, by the way, I'm writing to you from prison because I care about the gospel so much. He's like, look at Timothy, look at Epaphroditus. So sweet example of Paul living it out.
So, okay, so that's the bad side, potentially. Like, you did a great job from stage talking about real people in our congregation. Like, what does this practically look like for our congregation to live this out when they don't have a microphone, they don't have a stage or platform to be able to communicate those things? What give some tips to our church to just, like, here's how you could practically live this out.
Yeah. I think one thing I've done a lot of, and part of it could just be the Lord in his kindness using my diagnosis to make me think more about, like, how did I get here and how did I become who I am today? And I actually made it a goal one night to say, I just want to, starting from the time I was a child until we're in Veritas Urbana, think of people who specifically shaped me in my walk with Jesus. And I think I don't remember what my initial list was at, but being picky, I think I narrowed it to like 39 people. Mm. And I was like, oh my goodness, how can I be more intentional to tell those 39 people, hey, you came to mind. Here's why. Here's what you taught me about following the Lord. And yeah, it takes intentionality. I don't think this is a culture we're ever going to drift into. But practically speaking in our church, it's like, oh, before you show up to connection group or before you show up on a Sunday morning, think about real people and how you've seen Christ in them, the hope of glory, and how can you be intentional to seek them out and tell them. Sure. And it might be awkward, especially as it's like, oh, how do we try and grow the culture of honor here? But just say, hey, really practically speaking, I just wanted to honor you because the Lord brought you to mind this week, and I have seen how, you know, you have really grown in your dependence on the Lord in prayer, and that's really shaped me from a distance. So thank you for showing me what it looks like to follow Jesus in that way. And most people are going to be like, oh, thanks. You know, probably the most awkward spot is like, how do I respond to that? But
praise God.
Yeah, that's absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Yep. But I think another thing that maybe I'm the only one that's bad at it, but I don't think I am, is just how often the Lord actually will bring people to mind and we just never tell people that.
Yes.
You know, like sometimes it's a simple phone call is best, but even a simple text message that it's like, hey, the Lord brought you to mind today. Just wanted you to know I love you and this is something I've learned from you.
Yeah, those moments that you think, man, that's random that person just crossed my mind. Like, maybe it's not random. Maybe the Lord put them on your mind and you could like reach out in that moment and say, hey, I'm really grateful for how you've lived this out in your life. You know? I think the other really practical thing is just pray for opportunities for this.
Yeah.
Like if you're praying ahead of time, like before you come to church, like, God, I want to honor people today. Like he's going to give you the desires of your heart because that is a desire that honors the Lord, right?
Yeah.
Now, if you're doing that because you just want to be seen as the encourager, that goes back to the last question, right? But if you're in it like, God, I want to encourage people and honor them today at church, at Connection Group, in my life. Like, would you give me opportunities to do that? I don't think he's going to be like, no, I don't want you to do that.
Keep looking at yourself.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So just pray for those opportunities. And when they come to mind, take them. Don't wait and be like, oh, I'll write him a note later. Just if you can in that moment, just send him a note.
For sure.
All right. So finish up here. You referenced John 13:35 at the end of your sermon. Yeah. Just talking about Jesus washing his disciples' feet. Like, this is how you other people are going to know you're my disciples, by your love one for another. And you use this phrase, like, if we have this type of familial love, it's going to be a missional force.
Yeah.
Could you unpack that a little more?
Yeah.
What you meant by that?
Yeah. So I think even talking about the topic of family, and when people say, maybe shrink back at the idea of like familial love and, oh, that's not my family, family brokenness. Like, we all know deep within us there's a desire to be fully known and fully loved, mm-hmm. and to be able to show and share like the deep, dark corners of our life with people and not watch them run away,
sure.
but to watch them embrace us and surround us and point us to truth. And so I think the reality is we all want it. Very few of us have ever seen it done. And when we do see it and experience it, we're like, oh my goodness, this is incredible. I've never seen anything like it. And so I think in John 13:35, by this all people will know you're my disciples, is that city on a hill type living, sure. where we're called to be set apart and to, in the face of cancel culture, be like, no, that's not how it operates within the life of the church. And when we see the dark parts of people's lives, we don't shrink back or send them away. We embrace them. I think that's a type of culture that stands out and makes people ask the question, why?
Sure.
Which we know the answer is Jesus, but are we willing to go there?
Yeah.
You know, and that's the missional force. That's the missional opportunity to say, hey, the foundation, don't just be drawn into the community. Because I think that there are people who, I mean, I can even think of a SALT student from several years ago who said, man, I just keep coming because this is the best friend group I've ever had.
Mm.
And he hadn't yet come to Christ, but he was able to say, these people love me differently. And it's like, man, that's incredible. Pray that the Lord would take those seeds that are planted and help him not just see like, oh, these are good friends, but these are to be family members,
sure.
because of the finished work of Jesus. So,
because this is so different in our culture, when our culture is cut people out, cancel them for the church. We've talked about like we're gonna take sin seriously, but we want to take grace just as seriously, mm-hmm. right? And so, for the church for people outside of the church to look in at people that are broken and have had really dark things happen in their lives, and they've done sinful things,
yeah.
to know that they've been redeemed by Jesus and we love them and forgive them and accept them because that's what Jesus has done for us. Like, that's so different.
Yeah.
And that's where I think the missional force comes in. Like, oh, this is so countercultural in a great way.
Yeah.
That our culture just doesn't recognize redemption and reconciliation anymore. It's like, okay, you're done. You had your one shot and then you're done. So I think this is an incredible challenge for our church.
Mm.
Super practical. I'm just really grateful for you, Jordan. Thanks for being down here.
Joy to be here.
Guys, again, big idea for this week was commit to familial love and compete in honoring one another. So we'll see everybody in some good competition, hopefully.
Should be upcoming. Fun.
Yeah. As always, if you have questions you'd like us to address on this podcast, you can submit them through the form linked on the digital program or in the weekly Connection Group email. Until then, join us next week for another episode of Beyond the Message.